Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. It's good to be with you again. Thank you for tuning in and being loyal listeners. We have Bob and Mary Griswold with us.
Hello.
Hello.
We have Hal and Rainer James.
Hey, y'all.
And we have Melissa.
Hello.
And we have a special guest, Jennifer Dacey. Jennifer is one of the moderators for the Noncompliance Facebook page, and we've been running into her out at the protest in front of the school board and the hospital, and she's been getting around. We kept bumping into her, so we decided to have her come in and share with us just what's going on in the noncompliance world.
All kinds of noncompliance happening, right? Thank you for having me. I think it's been a busy week of noncompliance. We started out the week thinking that we'd really need to be at a school board meeting tonight, and that's going to happen, but I imagine there won't be the same amount of public input tonight as I would have forecasted if we'd been here on a Monday. So I think hopefully parents will still be there. There are still a lot of issues to deal with in the school system, as you all know. But we had some progress at their work session on Tuesday. The recommendation was made by, amazingly, the lead school nurse and the health director and also the superintendent that they go mask optional. But it's not effective until Monday because the North Carolina Safe Schools Toolkit changes aren't effective until Monday. And interestingly enough, my understanding is the kids are not even in school on Monday. President's Day.
Right.
So, good grief. Really weird. They don't even really get to enjoy being mask-free on Monday. Hopefully, maybe we can get back to actually the business of education in Craven County schools. I'm hopeful.
I hope
so, too.
That'd
be lovely.
It would be.
Jennifer, in the high schools, what is the, quote, safe distance in high schools? Has that gone away as an issue?
So I think they still have some recommendations about social distancing in the toolkit, but the important change that they made was they dropped all requirements for contact tracing and quarantining. And so that is obviously hugely helpful in terms of keeping the kids in school. Probably the most amazing statistic that we saw during that work session was a number that one of the school board members, I have to give her credit, Kelly Muse, had been asking for 3 months. And that was, what is the positivity rate of the kids that you are quarantining and keeping out of school? And that positivity rate was 10.5%. So 90% of the kids that were staying at home, missing out on school, missing out on all these extracurricular activities, were completely healthy. And I can tell you from talking to the parents, it cost Craven County families very dearly in lost income and lost learning.
Absolutely. On the noncompliance issue, there have been a number of high schools and other schools across the country where the students have been walking out and refusing to comply with the... Have you heard of any of that being... around planned?
So there have been numerous discussions on the page about parents coordinating that effort. I think the ones that I saw online that were most successful around the country were high school students, mm-hmm. Who really decided, you know, this is how we're going to play this. We're going to be peaceful, but we're not going to comply. And we have not seen any of that in Craven County. I wish we had. I had numerous occasions where I had parents who were upset about the quarantine, wanted to figure out some ways to challenge it. And really what happened was the state really had people over a barrel because the quarantine was just long enough that by the time you figured out essentially how to navigate the legality of it, it was really kind of already over. And so what we really needed to do across the state, and we tried to, in this group of lawyers I'm involved with, we tried to find in some county a group of about 20 families that we could maybe pull together as a group to essentially sue their county school board and ultimately the Department of Health and Human Services over the toolkit, because I think that has been the problem all along. And we couldn't do it. You got a collective action problem.
I think one of our biggest problems is a lot of the parents don't understand that noncompliance is not a bad thing.
That's right.
Okay? Noncompliance is a constitutional right that we have. It's
yes.
written into the Constitution.
Yes.
We are above the government. The government is not above us, and it is our rightful duty to not comply with unjust laws.
I agree.
And we have to get that word out and teach these parents. And it looks like these students in some of the high schools have figured it out for themselves.
They have.
Good for them.
Yes.
And I hope that continues to spread.
Agreed.
You know, and I agree with that hands down. The Constitution is to limit the government, not to limit the people. I got a strange question for you. I know that you were at the CCTA public meeting this past Tuesday. And they were talking about sex education in school, our speakers were, one of the topics. And they were talking about how that's being approached in our high schools. They talked about role-playing, negotiating how much sexual involvement couples will have. How does that role-playing jihad with the social distancing requirement?
That's a very interesting question, and I think it gets right back to one of the points that I heard people make repeatedly at school board meetings, which was you're demanding things of kids in a school setting that are not happening anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that has been the greatest frustration, is that the only public health measure in place in this entire county the entire time was the masking of children.
Mm-hmm. The low-risk group.
Exactly.
Ludicrous.
The group at least risk. And mm-hmm. yes, are there doctors out there who want to make mountains out of molehills when it comes to some incidents with children who in many cases were at higher risk? Yeah, that sure. Sure does that happen? Yes. But I think we still have, I believe the number is something like under 20 kids in the state
mm-hmm.
who have died of COVID.
And historically,
right.
before COVID,
right.
with the flu, we already had the same, you Correct. Know, pretty much the same number
yes.
of incidences like
yes.
that.
So to answer your question, I don't know how much negotiating is happening, but I do know that they have been gathering. I mean, kids are going to football games and going to basketball games, so... not that I agree with the skills that were being taught in that.
Nor do I, Jennifer.
Yes. So, yes.
Is the masking of children a reflection of fear on the part of the teachers?
I don't think so. I think it's they're marching lockstep with their party, mm-hmm. with their unions, mm-hmm. with what's being pushed down from the federal level through the state level. They are marching to those orders, plain and simple. And they're not going to go against their party line or the union line or any of that.
Well,
and,
I think a lot of them bought the fear.
Well, yeah, but because they're being pushed into following the science,
right, right.
but they are following the federal science, the political science.
Fake science.
Right.
It's kind of like fake news.
Right.
And they refuse to accept the fact that there are an equal or greater number of scientists out there and doctors and nurses that are pushing alternative view, which is the truth, mm-hmm. and they refuse to accept that or even allow you to utter the words, or they will dismiss you and cancel you and not allow you back in.
Well, I think you have those teachers that do not want to speak up for fear of retribution if they do believe in the alternative and not the mask and things like that. But you also have, I mean, we've seen the videos of students have released of teachers who are treating the children like they're nasty, don't come near me, mm-hmm. don't speak mm. to my face, stay way back there, you know, I have to be here and things like that. And I think they have bought that fear that's been pushed on them so hard.
Oh, definitely. I think, unfortunately, way too much fear. I mean, there was in discussion of the Free the Smiles bill in the General Assembly, there was a member who was describing the fact that she lives with a grandchild. Grandchild is too young to be vaccinated, so she's got to be concerned about what the child might bring home when the child goes to school. Okay. Well, your vaccine doesn't stop transmission. I know, well, it's not even a vaccine, but that's what you call it, and it doesn't stop transmission. So you're deluding yourself in thinking that somehow vaccinating this child is going to protect you.
Right.
That is not going to happen. But the fear has been fed from the very beginning.
Jennifer, one thing that troubles me a lot is the lack of parental concern or activity to do with the schools. It seems they practically get invited to leave after part of the school board meeting, you know, right in the middle of it. They have given out all the certificates and the attaboys and things like that. And the parents get up and leave. And I know Kelly Muse requested to be invited to come and observe some teaching one time, and that was refused. Has anybody ever, member of the school board or a parent or anybody like that been allowed to sit through a class and watch what's going on?
Well, I don't know the answer to that question. I know that there have been some parents, particularly on this, I've done a little bit more digging on this sex ed curriculum that mm-hmm. we were talking about, and I know that a parent who was involved in a Zoom meeting with a facilitator of that course asked specifically if the parent could sit in with the student and was told no. Mm-hmm. So,
wow.
Because
I'd do it anyway.
Because it might make the other children in the class uncomfortable. So mm-hmm. I don't know what their current guidelines are. I know that they are having visitors in their buildings at this point, is my understanding.
Having what?
They are visitors. Allowing visitors in the school building now. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about whether or not I would imagine Kelly has seen something, but I'm not sure what she's seen during this COVID era.
All right. Well, we need to take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back and continue this conversation.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, our guest tonight is Jennifer Dacey, and she is an attorney. She's also one of the moderators for the Noncompliance Facebook group. And noncompliance, I want to talk more about noncompliance. We had a speaker in a number of years back, or the GOP did, and she's a constitutional attorney. One of the nationally recognized authorities on Constitution, and that's Chris Ann Hall. She has recently released a movie, a noncompliant movie, and I watched that this morning. And, you know, it goes through, and it's on our Telegram channel. If you're on Telegram, you can just search for CCTA, Wake Up Call, and I've posted a link to that. It's on YouTube also, so you can find it there. But she goes through and explains your rights under the Constitution to be noncompliant and, you know, how to go about being noncompliant. Historically, I mean, you look at our founding fathers, they got us where we are because of their noncompliance.
You bet.
You know? So I urge you to check that link out, Noncompliant Movie by Chris Ann Hall. And I've also instructed our program chairman to see. It's about time we brought her back to Craven County, so we're checking on if that's a doable thing or not. So looking forward to it.
I was out on the highway today, and I witnessed a whole lot of noncompliance out there.
Yeah?
You know, 55 miles an hour speed limit, and at 70, people be passing you.
Well, speed limits are a joke nowadays, especially on the interstate. I just came back from the People's Republic of Maryland. And I was going, I confess, I was 10 miles over the speed limit. But they were passing me. I was afraid I was going to get run over, you know. And there was ice on the roads out there.
Oh, my God!
And that's what I said, do these people not realize it? In just a moment, they could be gone.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit more about what happened in the General Assembly today in Raleigh on the mask bill. It passed the Senate, and I understand that Governor Cooper had already came out with a statement urging the school boards to drop the mask requirement.
He did. I was in another meeting, so I had another person in the noncompliant group messaging me back and forth with the updates on what he was saying, and he encouraged them to drop their mask mandates.
I wouldn't say urge.
Right. He did not strongly recommend, which is what would have been more useful, but I'm not surprised. He has assessed the political winds and can see that their poll numbers are in the garbage, and they've got to try and back away from this a little bit. So I think that this is their last minute attempt to try and, oh no, we weren't masking kids all, you know. He thinks that people are stupid enough they're going to forget about the last 2 years.
And his timing was very suspect. He knew they were going to pass.
Oh yeah, he knew they were going to move it. And I will say that I wish it had gone a little further. It basically says that, and I can read you the language here. It says, it basically gives the power back to the parents, but it doesn't say the school board cannot require face coverings. It just says the parents have to be allowed to opt out. And there's no sunset on it, so it is a permanent change, and it means that there will not be a monthly vote on mask policies anymore. That is gone. But I will tell you that personally, we've already discussed it a little bit here today. I think masks on children are child abuse, and I would like to see that criminalized, personally. I think that, you know.
Good idea.
There's no question that it is incredibly damaging to children. And if you look at the actual truthful science, that's what it all shows.
Well, what's been done not just to the kids, but all of the parents and citizens across the country has been criminal.
It has been.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Talking about the timing, you know, there's a lot of states, a lot of governors coming out, things that are changing, dropping these COVID things. And,
you know, the midterm elections are gearing up. And you're right. They do count on us forgetting.
Right.
And that were the voters. They count on the voters forgetting that just how bad it was. And well, look at us. We got rid of that for you. We changed that. We fixed it. And
after you'd imposed it on us for two right. years, well, get real.
we all here know that that's mm-hmm. there will be voters who say, oh, well, he fixed it. So the political climate change, I mean, look at what happened in San Francisco where they got rid of
recalled three
school board members, large margins, right. 72 to 79%.
Huge.
That was recalled. So, and how many Republican voters are there? It is a 6% population of Republican voters. So the Democrats, the independents, they're all getting pretty fed up with all of this. Also, Harris and Biden, their approval numbers came out today in California, and their approval rating did not go over 38% in California.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's stunning.
It's going to be an interesting midterms. Jennifer, I had noticed on the noncompliance page that there was a nice little video. It says, you've been served. How citizens are using insurance liability policies to check school board power. And you remarked many of us have considered the bonds for the win strategy. Can you explain that to us?
So I know several members of the group who have looked at this extensively. I've watched a little bit about it. I know it's been pretty successful in other states, and the article you're referencing is one in the North State Journal that I shared, and it's easy to find. They usually have very good materials in their paper, and it goes through some of the counties where this is being currently used in our state. I think it's Iredell. I'm not sure they needed to do it in Union, but they've done it in several different counties, and it essentially what you're doing is the citizens are first basically asking for information about whether or not these elected officials who sit on the school boards are bonded. And if they're not bonded, whether or not there is any kind of liability policy that they carry. And essentially what people are doing is making a claim against these elected officials on their bond. And if you go to Bonds for the Win, it's a website that explains all of this. So there are a couple members of the group who have asked for these materials from our school board. They have not yet produced them. We'll see. I don't really know what the situation is here in our county with regard to that. So we'll find out. But interestingly enough, when these elected officials have been served with some of these documents, suddenly they decide to drop mask mandates.
Right.
And so I think the takeaway that people really need to remember is, as you said, this really is our government. They work for us, and this is obviously a learning curve for them to understand that that's really the process. But I think that we need to look at it because we need to see if there are other avenues where that might be applied that would be helpful. Now, the bottom line, I think, with a lot of those applications is if your children or a child had a specific damage from the mask mandate over the last 2 years that you could point to and essentially make a claim against the policy in some way. So it's worked in other counties and other states. We'll see what we have here in Craven County.
Right. Well, you know, if you follow the money, you go all the way to the top of the chain. It flows down through the government, through the federal government, to the state government, and then from there it flows out also to the hospitals through the Medicare, Medicaid programs.
Hmm.
So basically, it's all been done to us for profit.
Yes.
The pharmaceuticals have profited greatly off of it and are still profiting off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think groups like yours are very important. Like when you stood out in front of the hospital, there was a lot of support that day, and from nurses that were coming and going to work that
yeah.
day. There was a lot of horn honking, a lot of support for the movement.
A lot of thumbs up.
Right. But they are in a bind where they're being threatened with losing their jobs.
Right.
And if they don't comply, matter of fact, we know in our within our family circle there are people that have actually lost their jobs or chose to just leave their jobs.
Right.
Rather than
same thing's true of our family.
Yep. Right. So I haven't seen so much of that in the school system. With the teachers and the school boards and all. I wonder why they aren't being pressured, or are they?
So I have not heard of any public school system that has done that, except I think maybe LA did do it for students, and I don't know what their policy was with regard to teachers, but in our state, I've not heard of that. I imagine that our teachers union here has this kind of odd thinking that makes no sense, right? Total cognitive dissonance. We want all the kids to be vaccinated, but we're not going to require it of our members,
yeah.
Right?
I'm just wondering why the school teachers have a reluctance to be noncompliant,
right.
Why they fall into lockstep
Could
and
it
fall
be
into...
Could that they know more than they're letting on?
Yeah, I know a county employee that was very concerned about, he thought the county might require... the jab, as we call it.
Right.
And he's very relieved because they have announced that they're not going to make a requirement for the county.
Right.
And so, I just thought that's interesting that people get concerned, and if enough people get concerned, then they change their mind.
That's right.
And, we've set up, unfortunately, we've set up two camps, those that say you can never get the vaccine versus you must get the vaccine, and they won't talk. Neither one will talk to the other right now.
Right.
And yet we're trying to say, this is a voluntary thing. If you'd get the vaccine, fine, but don't require somebody else to do it.
Wait Same a minute, thing with Bob. We talk to anybody. They just won't talk to us.
No, right. No. Won't talk to anybody.
I will tell I'll tell you because I happen to know, a number of people in that group. We have folks in that group who are pharmaceutical sales reps who were forced to get it in order to keep their job. But I can tell you that they will go to prison. They will do a lot of things before they allow a child of theirs to get this thing.
Mm. Wow. I like that anecdote that one woman said. She said, "Would you put something in my body that I don't want in my body? That's rape."
Yeah.
Wow.
I actually had to look up a vaccine issue today, not the vaccine, but the chickenpox vaccine.
Okay.
And someone, can children or young adults be that are exposed to shingles, will they get the chickenpox? And then the question came up, I don't remember any of our children having chickenpox. So I looked it up, and lo and behold, it was required they get vaccinated. So, yes, that was in their vaccination for all of them to go to public school. So they all did get it. Well, then as I'm going through looking at it more, it's now come out, and it started in 1995, that it was mandated. Now it's not mandated. This was, and I know this is in the UK and a couple of other European countries. I did not get a chance to check here, but it's not mandated because they have found that it kept the children from getting the vaccine, but as its efficacy,
the chickenpox,
yeah.
But as its efficacy wore off as they got older and they were around someone with shingles or they got the chickenpox, they got a much worse case. It was incredibly painful and hard to get over. Whereas when they're children, it's a quick, pain in the butt, itchy, and then you're done with it. That was 30 years ago. Okay, we're not talking about 50, 60,
right.
70. We're talking about less than 30 years ago. And what are they going to find in 25,
negative,
30 years with this
negative
one?
Vaccine efficacy is what
chicken
that's called.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know, like Bob, you were saying, if they want to get the vaccine.
Sure, yeah.
But I have a little problem with that. If you haven't done your research, you haven't studied, and you don't know what the ongoing effects of this vaccine are, we're seeing a lot of deaths that are now being attributed to heart problems that are...
Right, strokes.
You're going to be a burden on society because of that choice you made. So you are affecting me.
That's right.
You're yelling at me that I'm affecting you because I'm not wearing a mask. You know, that door swings two ways.
I think you are exactly right. And I don't know if any of you have started following Ed Dowd, who's on Twitter. He's a former BlackRock guy who knows the investment markets very well. And one of the things that he has been tracking are the third and fourth quarter reports out of life insurance companies and what's starting to happen with the numbers that they're seeing in all-cause mortality. So the folks who chose to get the vaccine are going to ultimately, in the view of a number of folks who are looking at what is happening with life insurance, end up paying more for their life insurance. That's going to ultimately be a question.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Because we're not going to insure your life because you have taken on some additional risk.
Yep.
So
that is,
we will see this eventually in that marketplace.
Yep. You know, I've also read a study about all-cause mortality among military members, and it is spiked out of this world.
It is.
Four figures percent in some cases.
Right. So that is a part of an investigation that Tom Renz, who's an attorney in Ohio, I think, is involved with. And he's got a couple of whistleblowers, Dr. Teresa Long, I think is her name, who are involved with that. And they brought all of this data to light from that DOD database.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, mm-hmm. the DOD is trying to walk it back, saying, oh, there was a glitch in the system that explains why those numbers are so high. And I think ultimately we'll have to get some government, some Senate oversight to get to the bottom of what really happened with those DOD numbers.
Wow. All right. Well, we need to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, our special guest, Jennifer Dacey, is talking to us about noncompliance and why we should be noncompliant. You folks, if you follow the true science and the true news, you find out that you've been lied to, you've been deceived, you've been taken advantage of, you've been abused, and now, just for exercising their God-given right to stand up for their rights and be noncompliant, many people are serving time in jail. They're having their bank accounts blocked. You know, this is tyranny. Mm-hmm. And the only way to stop it is noncompliance, mm-hmm. to take a stand. And if you'll watch that video Chris Ann Hall put out, and there's some other ones out there also, you know, you wonder, who's going to do it? Who's going to stand up? Well, the truckers in Canada have set a good example. But how did all that happen? One person, and throughout history, when things have been changed, when governments have been overthrown and things have been changed, and I'm not advocating over, don't take my words and twist them.
We're not to that point yet. Hopefully we'll never get there. But
all the major changes in civilization took place because one person chose to take a stand. Okay? Now, you keep asking, well, why don't they do this and why don't they do that? Why don't you do it? Mm-hmm. Why don't you go put your name on a ballot and run for an office?
I'm too old, Rick.
You're not too old. There's no limitations on it. It's against the law.
You're still breathing.
Yes, ma'am. Right.
Anyway, you know, folks, you've got to get involved. You've got to take that stand, because when one stands, usually others follow.
Mm-hmm. And it takes, 3% that won our 3%. Freedom the first time from, mm-hmm. from the pompous king who wouldn't...
Right.
Which recognize our God-given rights.
So we've got members of our group, CCTA, that have run for public office. Michael Speciale was our 3rd District House Representative. He founded CCTA as it is today.
Norm Sanderson helped him.
Norm Sanderson was vice chair.
In the beginning, mm-hmm. Michael was chairman and Norm was vice chair.
Right.
And the rest is history. They've done good jobs for us.
We've had several members run for school board, unfortunately.
And we need to again.
Yes. And, you know, we've had them run for other offices. You're not always successful the first couple of times you run for office. But anyway.
Fourth time that Michael ran that he won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, any enterprise, anything you want to do, you set goals and you take steps to reach it. Oftentimes you fall down, skint your knees up several times. As long as you dust those knees off, get up and get going again, you'll eventually get where you want to go, because you learn from each failure.
And don't disqualify yourself. Don't say, I can't do it. I'm not qualified to do that. There are no qualifications other than you're an American citizen and you're above 18 years of age. Those are all the qualifications.
Or older ages.
But if you want to be president, you've got to be over 35.
Right. I didn't think they were going to stop it. Start at the top and work your way down.
Well, Trump did, and look how he worked out.
Oh, that's a good point. And, you know, look at our lieutenant governor.
Wow, yes.
He had no political experience. He was a blue-collar worker working in a factory, and he decided to take a stand because they were trying to take away a constitutional right. He didn't even own a firearm when he took a stand to protect the Second Amendment rights of all the citizens of North Carolina. So, and he went from there to be our lieutenant governor. You have in Virginia, Winsome Sears is now the lieutenant governor there. Both of them were minority. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them had political experience. And they both are doing an excellent job.
Amen to that.
So, you know, folks, don't disqualify yourself. You know, let them do it at the polls. Put your name on the ballot, and if they disqualify you, then do it again next year. Next
I'd like to say something that's a little off the subject of what we're talking about tonight. But that Virginia plan that changed the government in Virginia is tremendous. And they put out a little booklet, and we're trying to follow that. And I think that a lot of it goes back to election integrity and how to stop, you know, those funny things from happening with our elections. This is, as I said, a little off topic, but it's to me, it's a tremendously important that we're involved in, and we need to keep on going on that one.
Oh, absolutely, and it's not necessarily off topic because what we're talking about here is people not complying with unconstitutional laws. Many of the elections that were won in 2020 in the different parts of the country in different states were won because unconstitutional laws were put into place to change the voting laws.
They appeared to have been won. They were fake elections.
Right.
And we need to stop that from happening.
And, you know, when you see that it's an unconstitutional law, it's an unjust law, you have all the right in the world not to comply with it.
It's null and void on its face.
And you have your sheriffs across the country, some of them which are complying with they're enforcing unconstitutional laws, and they shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. They should be standing and being non-compliant. And then in other parts of the country, you have got sheriffs that refuse to enforce unconstitutional laws. And we're fortunate enough that I think we have those here.
Yes.
I'm grateful.
Yes, very grateful.
Well, as we start to wind down here, Jennifer, have you got any other topics that you...
Well, since you mentioned trucker convoy, there is a convoy, you know, leaving from California, and I did see a post somewhere on social media. I was trying to find it, but I think that they are going to stop in Raleigh on the 25th. The last I heard and saw.
Gosh,
so look for more on that.
Have they decided their final destination?
D.C. was my understanding.
They are? Okay.
So... I hope they do it.
The reason I think Melissa asked that question is because there are some out there that were advocating don't go to D.C. because D.C. knows you're coming, they're expecting you. Do a U-turn, go to the southern border, line trucks up for 200 or 300 miles down the border, and do what the Border Patrol's not getting done because they're handcuffed.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
Well, I would hope that these truckers coming would drop off supplies to all of the empty shelves along the way, and then arrive in D.C. with empty trucks, and just to show D.C. what they need to.
Yeah.
Experiences the empty shelves. I don't think
it is shocking.
I don't think that D.C. is experiencing the same empty shelves that they're forcing on the rest of the country.
No, I see the post and the empty shelves, and they say where they are, and there's always 1, 2, 3 people who are like, "Well, that must be a local issue because that's not happening here. That's not happening here." I went to Walmart for the first time in over maybe 2 years. Last week, and stood all the way from the vegetable section, looking down all the way to the back of the store where the meat and the cheese and all of that is bare.
Yeah,
I could not believe it. I had to call my husband. I'm like, "What is going on? We weren't even expected to have a little snow drizzle."
Yeah, I went for several weeks. I'm on a keto diet, and I miss my chocolate. So we have a keto recipe for chocolate mousse, and it's made with cream cheese. I thought cream cheese came from the same cows that produced the milk, but evidently not, because there's plenty of milk, but there was no cream cheese for weeks. I went to 5 stores one night. 5 grocery stores.
You really needed a chocolate fix.
Well, somebody had to have cream cheese, but they didn't.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade.
And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Pawn, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
How would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Bern. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
One of the things that is happening as a result of what's going on with the supply chain and the California ports is that the southeastern ports have had a tremendous uptick in business. And we notice it because the train that used to run by here once in the morning and once at night is now up and down two or three times a day, and that train goes to Moorhead.
I wonder if people ask themselves the question, wait a minute now, we weren't having any trouble with the ports. We weren't having any trouble with the supply chain. Mm-mm. What changed that caused all of this?
I hope they are. I mean, I think they've used a lot of those "I did that" stickers with pictures of Joe Biden, right?
Yeah.
I saw
one on the gas pump. Yeah.
Can we say elections have consequences, even fake ones?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I love the how they're setting up. They're coming out with, you know, Pelosi said that inflation is high because so many people, Biden made so many jobs.
Yeah.
And when you have more people working, inflation goes up.
How come we had low inflation under Donald Trump and we had more
massive
people working?
Job
and I really,
I don't count it
as you created a job when it's just people who are going back to work after
the place was under lockdown.
But they go ahead.
Okay. You know, with inflation, I guess they're saying that it's around 9.5% now. I was talking to an investment analyst this morning, and he's talking, if we used the measures that were used back in the 1980s, inflation is closer to 15%.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there has been quite a bit of talk here lately that they're changing the formulas to make it look, you know, not so bad. But I feel like every time they talk about something or they're asked about something, such as the supply chain or the inflation or anything that matter, they follow it up with, but you got to pass Build Back Better. Once that comes, everything's going to be fixed. Everything's going to be fine.
Well, wait a minute. Why do you have to build back?
Yeah.
Usually don't build back unless something's torn down.
That's what's happened, right?
They tore it down.
Destroyed it all.
The other part of this, too, is are you going to believe your eyes or are you going to believe what you are told?
Mm-hmm.
And there was an incident in the past week or so where a congressman complained that the Capitol Police spied on him. Mm-hmm. And they claimed, well, his door was left open and we had to go in and investigate. Well, there's a video of that door. It has a self-closing mechanism.
Wow.
There is no way that door was left open. And so we're back to, are you going to believe what we tell you, or are you going to believe what you see?
Leave your lying eyes.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Jennifer, we're really glad that you were able to come and spend some time with us, and I hope you'll continue to keep us updated.
And continue to do the good work you're doing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thank you. Happy to do that. I think that's what I want to encourage people to do, is to help everybody think about how we get back the freedoms that we've lost the last 2 years and how we prevent this from happening again.
Right. And folks, you've got to take them back.
Got to.
Okay.
Now, they're not going to give them. They're not going to give them.
You're going to have to be willing to sacrifice, just like the Patriots did to get us here in the first place. You may lose a job. You've got to weigh your family, your children, their future, what you're willing to sacrifice to protect that. You've got to put that on the line. Mm-hmm. You've got to put your life on the line, maybe.
Patrick Henry had it right.
Yep.
Well, one of the craziest things I've heard is this idea of taxing the equity you have in your home, the equity, how much you have saved.
They're going after everything, but, you know, it's not going to be painless. It's not going to be easy.
Right.
But you can't sit back and let everybody else put their head on the chopping block. Mm-hmm. You need to join in. It's going to take a concerted effort from everybody.
It is.
Willing to stand up. And the more voices that are heard, I mean, the truckers have started something that has been heard around the world.
They have.
The streets in France are in an uproar, turmoil. They're rioting there, and it's turned violent there.
So I got to tell you one thing. I heard on Dr. McCullough's podcast, which is a great podcast. It's one of these things I listen to when I'm walking the dog. And he had a doctor on from Germany this week who told him that the news in Germany is reporting that the trucker convoy in Canada is all about icy road conditions.
Yes. Okay. Loud.
So, you know, we are in the process of developing our own non-mainstream media, and that has to continue, and it has to get stronger, and that's the only way that we continue to get the message out about what the real truth is. And I totally agree with you about informed consent. These people think they made it. They didn't. They had no idea what they were agreeing to do. And that's the real travesty of this, I think. And I think that is what's most criminal to me.
Right.
Is that, you know, here's your government-provided medical procedure. We're not going to tell you what's in it. We're not even going to tell you what the risks are to you. But you've got to do it.
But this all goes back to education.
Right.
Decades now, we have had students going through the school system learning that the government had power over us. We had to be subservient to the government. The government, the Supreme Court. How many people think the Supreme Court is the ultimate law in the land? It's not.
Not a law at all.
The Supreme Court issues opinions. They don't make laws. They don't uphold laws. They issue opinions.
You know what? It would be illogical for the states to create a federal government, give them limited powers, and then allow one of those powers to be the decision about whether or not it was a constitutional law. The states need to decide that, and I think the notion of general assemblies using interposition, nullification, saying not in our state, that's not a constitutional law. We're going to be non-compliant.
Mm-hmm. Problem with that right now is it has gone so far that you have the same corruption at the state level, the same corruption at the local level.
We've got work
to do. Right.
We've
and
it's got work to do.
It's going to take the masses saying enough is enough. Mm-hmm. Let's get up and make the changes.
Yep.
That's using the polls, the voting booth. That's using your physical presence at the school board meetings, at the commissioner meetings, at, you know.
Health board.
Yeah, health board. I'm glad you mentioned
that. Yes, ma'am.
That was one of the things I wanted to ask you about.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So they meet on the second Monday of every month at noon, and don't let the folks at the front desk tell you can't go because it's a public meeting and you have a right to go. It's your health board. I'd encourage people to go. They meet in a room probably, you know, the size of most dining rooms. And so when a lot of members of the public show up, they start getting a little uncomfortable.
Where is the room?
Yeah. It's at the health department, so right on Neuse Boulevard, the big social services building.
Health department and social services
are all in one complex. So, you know, if you want to, you can get a drive-through COVID test while you're there on certain days. And so, yeah, it's our health board. There's only one elected official who sits on it. It's Commissioner Booker. And I'll tell you, they are flush with cash right now because they made $85 per COVID shot administration.
Yep.
They netted $800,000 in 2021.
Wow.
Because of people getting shots.
Like I said,
so they don't have an incentive for people to get shots or anything like that.
And the hospital, why do you think the hospital was calling everything COVID?
I know. You go in with a broken leg and you're a COVID case.
I don't know the numbers, but it was more than $85. If it was a COVID death.
Yes, it was a COVID death. You got all kinds of bonuses. If you gave an administration of Remdesivir, $30,000. There are all kinds of bonuses worked into this COVID treatment. And a lot of the data, as I pointed out publicly at the health board, that we have here locally is just not adequate. I mean, I can look at Carteret County data, Beaufort County data. They have 16-page data surveillance where I can tell you what percentage vaccinated people are African-American, all these ethnic breakdowns and everything. If you look at Beaufort, our data is very, very basic. They have got to step it up. And I think, you know, particularly as I pointed out to the commissioners, if you are taking nearly $1 million in state and federal money and you are doing all these things with COVID shots and having additional places where you're administering these, then we need to see as taxpayers the results of this money and what you're doing with it. And now that contact tracing is not allowed, the nurse that you hired to contact trace healthy children in our schools, she needs to go.
Right. Mm-hmm. Have you introduced him to open meeting laws yet? Well, Jennifer, thanks again for coming. That's all the time we have for today's show. Folks, I hope you've enjoyed it and found it to be informative. The main message here is get involved.
And be non-compliant.
Be non-compliant. Again, that's a Facebook group, non-compliant. It is a private group, but you can ask to join. And there's a lot of activity going on there, and they'll keep you up to date on where to be and when to go and what to do. So we appreciate your efforts and look forward to having you back with us again. Folks, this is CCTA Wake Up Call. You can visit our webpage at cctaxpayers.com. And you'll find all kinds of information there. Our public meetings are held the third Tuesday of every month. They're free and open to the public, and we invite you to join us. So come again and join us next week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.